RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
To the announcement yesterday by the Reserve Bank announcing a cut of 25 basis points to the OCR, the official cash rate. We thought we would invite David Cunningham, seasoned executive in New Zealand's banking and financial services sector, currently CEO of Skrill Mortgages, a leading mortgage broker and non-bank lender in New Zealand, onto RCR to comment. David took the role in July 2022, bringing with him extensive experience from his previous position as CEO of Cooperative Bank, where he was recognized for his leadership and sector knowledge. Dave, welcome back to RCR. Thanks for coming on again.
Pleasure to be here, Paul.
So they cut.
They cut, yes. They made the right move. And, you know, the forward track that they showed for the official cash rate, inflation, et cetera, all makes sense to me.
Not everyone was wanting a cut, though. I see the guy from Infometrics, he didn't want one.
Well, not necessarily didn't want one, as didn't think they'd do it. Like my read economists said was they thought they should, the Reserve Bank should cut, but didn't think they would. So, but nevertheless, we had a number of the big bank economists that were calling for a cut. They were right.
How have the banks reacted, have you seen?
Yeah, we've immediately had some rate cuts come through, actually. So the big banks have started moving floating rates, fixed rates, which have been falling for a little while. They're probably down 0.5% from the peak that they hit many months ago. They'll continue to fall. So, you know, we've got an OCR, official cash rate forecast, getting down to sort of mid 3.5s next year. So, you know, that's 2% below where it is now and hitting 3% in sort of 18, 24, 36 months. So, they'll grind down from here is probably the way I'd put it. But definitely we've already seen the cuts happening previously to the OCR announcement. As wholesale markets, they naturally anticipate what's going to happen. They were right, as it turned out. So we'll continue to see those sort of drift down in interest rates, which is sort of good news for borrowers. Many of them have positioned themselves with very short fixed rates, so it will flow through really quickly to households compared to when interest rates are rising. It flowed through much more slowly because people were on much longer terms for their fixed rates. Of course, depositors lose out.
Yeah. So is the tempo that I'm indicating, the time span that you just mentioned, is that about right in your thinking?
I think so, yeah. It's very much in line with sort of my view. You know, they've talked a neutral official cash rate sort of around about 3%, give or take, and that's where they've got the OCR falling to. So look, let's be clear. Today's monetary conditions are still restrictive. So the foot's not on the accelerator. It's just come off the brake. So, you know, the first probably 2% of cuts are, you know, taking the foot right off the brake. It's sort of still there. And, you know, the economy is very much in first gear, second gear at the moment. It's and then that seems to have been the game changer. The very, very weak economic outcomes in the second quarter of the year, the April to June period. And, you know, they've finally acknowledged that. You know, I'd argue that those signs were there sort of 4 or 5 months ago when I first called for them to start cutting the OCR. I doubted they would at the time, but the signs were there. We could see it in our business in terms of the conversations with the customers we deal with about mortgages. So, you know, all the leading indicators have indicated that we'll have a very bad GDP number for the quarter we've just ended. Of course, all these are backward looking. That's the problem. You know,
we get these
economic stats. I think we get the June quarter GDP in about September.
Yeah, so we can look back and see how bad it was then. It's probably even worse now in some cases.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, you know, I sort of at Skrill we do a podcast, and you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, we sort of made the comment, it's often darkest before dawn. And it did feel like that time. We just had a really rough quarter, you know, and it's turned out that way. In reality, I'm actually sensing a slight lift in the mood. So
that's interesting. That's good.
We're past the worst in one sense, but all those lagged things that flow through, like unemployment, will continue to rise probably for another 6 or 9 9 months. But that said, inflation is, you know, the forecast for inflation, which is ultimately what the Reserve Bank's targeting, it's plummeted. You know, it's 1% below where they had, you know, the inflation number that comes out in early October. They're forecasting 2.3%. Back in May, they were forecasting 3.3%. So 1% lower, sort of now. And again, I think this part of the problem is I think we look far too far backwards when we look at economic statistics. You know, the media busily reports inflation is 3.3%, which it is on an annual basis. Mm. But if you add up the last three quarters, you get to 1.5%, which is 2% annualized. Now, given the OCR has been set for the annual CPI or the CPI over time, I just think it's taken a bit long to reach that conclusion. But hey, they've got there. That's the good news. They've got there. Massive change from the monetary policy statement in May, though.
Does that mean they're high-fiving themselves, each other, at the RBNZ right now? Like, job done, folks.
Well, fair call. Job done in terms of inflation appears to be under control. Their forecast track for the next 3 years is, you know, 2%, give or take, which is bang on the middle of their 1% to 3% targets. High-fiving, I don't think so.
Well, you know what I mean.
You know. The way we've got there has been very painful for New Zealand. You know, we probably have the weakest economy in the world of the Western world. And question was, you know, did they overdo it and have they taken too long to cut? Well, you know, they've cut today. That's the good news. You know, they were forecasting it would be a year away only, 3 months ago.
Yeah, I hear from friends in business, across a range of business, anecdotal, I know this is, but they're saying they've never known it so slow, actually.
Yeah, well, you can see it in retail sales, like with inflation, you know, prices are going, we're going up. They're arguably stable, if not slightly down at the moment, but certainly pretty stable. But, you know, with a much bigger population, the sales per consumer, per person in New Zealand have fallen massively. You know, per capita GDP is down 4%. So if you're sort of feeling poorer, you are.
I guess that's how you know. What material difference to, and maybe you can tell me this off the top of your head or whatever, to your average mortgage holder paying their, you know, their installments, does 25 basis points make? I mean, do you notice it?
Oh, look,
in
a rough sense, if you've got a $400,000 mortgage, which is, you know, higher than some have and much lower than many others have, but on a $400,000 mortgage, 25 points is about $1,000.
Yeah.
Per annum.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, but it adds up when you get 8 of those cuts, which is quite likely. Well, that's pretty much what the forecast of the Reserve Bank.
I see what you're saying.
Cuts. You know, you get up to 8,000, and if you've got $1 million mortgage, you know, that's $20,000. There's a big number.
Well, yeah. Okay. Now we're talking. Okay. What are your thoughts about RBNZ, their decision making group, for example? I've heard others. We had Michael Riddell on, and in our money talks, we've talked about RBNZ, that they seem to have been quite insular in the way they
operated.
You
wrote an article a couple of days ago headed Flippity Flop. And then that really reflected the fact that, you know, in April they seemed quite dovish, and you know, in May, and that was the message the market took, in May suddenly it was like they were the hawks, you know, everything was tightening, and it shocked the market. And then in July they were back to sort of positioning that they might change their tone in this monetary policy statement, which they've done. I look at it and wonder if the composition of the Monetary Policy Committee, and which is currently 4 Reserve Bankers and 3 independents, and the charter of the Monetary Policy Committee that seeks consensus. In my experience, committees seeking consensus don't produce good outcomes. So I'd argue that, you know, and if you're one of the Reserve Bank staffers, are you going to argue against your colleague? Well, maybe, you know, at my place we have some pretty vigorous and
robust.
But you know, when the Economist has put up the forecast they put up in May, are the rest of the Reserve Bank people on that committee going to argue against it? I doubt it. So, you know, my view, when you look around the world, you see a real variety of models. Like in Australia, it's a almost entirely independent Reserve Bank board that ultimately makes the decisions. Obviously, the Reserve Bank governor has a big influence, but and the economic forecast, but it's an independent sort of board. The Federal Reserve has got 7 independents, if you call being appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate independent, arguable, depending on who the president is.
You know, or if you can remember, he did it.
Yeah. And, you know, UK's a majority, 5 independents, 4 Reserve Bank staff. Canada's all Reserve Bank staff. The European Central Bank, it's got 26 people on it. God knows how they make a decision, but I think they've. So, look, I believe we should have a majority of independents. And, you know, the charter shouldn't say seek consensus. The charter should seek diversity of opinion and vote on it. And that way you get a real sense of different people rather than sort of trying to gravitate towards, hey, it only looks good if we have consensus. Actually, I'd argue the opposite. Diversity and hearing that diversity being talked about by financial market participants. Because at the moment, we end up second guessing what the Reserve Bank's going to do, you know, what they're going to say. You know, we had ANZ earlier this year go, well, reading the tea leaves from the words that they've used, and we think they're going to hike the interest rate. Well, as it turned out, they are wrong. But, you know, that's because they're trying to read the words. You know, that's not the way financial markets should be informed about the thinking of the Reserve Bank, in my opinion.
Right. So consensus is just another word for groupthink.
Well, it could be.
Maybe. You know, you hear that term a lot. Yeah. What are your current thoughts, David, on the housing market right now? Because you're plugged right into it. Where do you see it going now?
Well, you know, house prices have been falling for a few months now. They're down, you know, depending on the market, you're looking at between about 1% and 3%, even 4%. So obviously post-COVID, they boomed and then they bust sort of thing. And then they sort of went up a bit. Now they've gone down a bit. So they're sort of basically tracking sideways with a downward bias. We've seen quite a bit of activity with people refinancing. So from a mortgages perspective, there's quite a bit of activity. It's about 10% higher than a year ago. But from a sales perspective, you know, days to sell has gone up, listing prices has gone down and so on. Again, I think the cuts in interest rates are going to start to flow through to more optimism. It might take a few months, but, you know, one of the key things is the test rates that banks use when they assess whether you can pay for your mortgage. So banks had been using test rates at 9%. You know, we've now got mortgages near a 6.5%. So we're starting to see those test rates drop, which suddenly means that, you know, your first home buyer can afford $800,000 house rather than a, you know, $650,000 house. So that will start to flow through. For investors, you know, lower interest rates mean it's a better proposition in terms of rental yields and that. So I think the scene is set for a gradual recovery in the housing market from a price and activity perspective over the next, you know, it's probably underway now, to be honest, or getting underway, but it will be sort of a bit of a slow burn, you know, when you've had a few months of housing prices. So I think we'll probably see a bit of a stabilization over the next 2 or 3 months and then probably just a gradual lift. You know, house prices naturally rise roughly at the rate of inflation. That's the natural increase.
Yeah, and I suppose this resets the psychology kind of too, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you sort of start to feel a bit wealthier when your mortgage going down. I mean, you also always should think about the depositors, though. You know, their interest rates are starting to fall. Those depositors tend to be older people, you know, over 55 generally is where most of the deposit money is. So, you know, they were wringing their hands with agony, you know, when interest rates were 1% or less. You know, when they were 6%, you know, looked pretty good, and, you know, they'll start to drift down now. But probably, you know, I think we'll sort of see home loan rates settle in the next year to 18 months a bit below 5%, and deposit rates will probably be around the 4% level. So, you know, down a couple of percent from where they were on both sides of the ledger.
And when is the next OCR announcement?
It's in October, so you know, market's pricing for another cut in October. Ironically, it's about 3 or 4 days before the CPI is released for the quarter. And that's an important CPI. The Reserve Bank's forecasting 0.8 for the quarter, which would take annual inflation to 2.3%. By the way, that's where the big move's been. You know, 3 months ago, they were forecasting that would be 1.3%, now 0.8. So that's the big change, driven by this very weak GDP quarter. So October, so the market's pricing for another cut then, and then another one in the end of November. And then you've got a sort of a pause till February to the next review. So market actually going into this review was expecting over 0.75 reduction. Haven't seen the numbers yet, but I suspect it might well be pricing in up to 1% cut this year. But, you know, 0.75 feels right to me. I think a gradual easing cycle is good, you know, 0.25, 0.25, 0.25. You know, you could argue for a 0.5 today, but, you know, it was
go for the big one. Go for the big one. Be bold. Go for the big one. For Christmas.
Yeah, well, I think what it would take would be a weaker than the revised down forecast of the CPI, which will come out in, as I say, mid-October. So the November monetary policy statement could well be a 50 if the inflation comes out, you know, below 0.8 in the September quarter. So, yeah, I mean, I'd sort of say, you know, the next review will be probably another 0.25 and the one after that, 0.5 or 0.5. And, you
steady
know,
as she goes. Yep.
Stability, you know, just step it down, you know, down the on the stairs, up the elevator is one of the sort of
let the pressure out of the tire slowly.
Yeah.
Rather than bang.
Less sort of grief. I mean, the tire was overpumped, in my opinion. You know, I think the Reserve Bank went too high. But, you know, in this big scheme of things, it doesn't change the world. If they hadn't eased today, that would have been the wrong outcome. So, you know, you can be critical of the Reserve Bank for saying, well, you know, you've flip-flopped and you had things too high and suddenly your forecasts are 1% lower than they were 3 months ago. What were you on? But ultimately, in the scheme of things, you know, 3 months, you know, it's a few people's jobs gone and a few business that goes under. So let's be clear on that. There is pain and that pain ain't going to go away. And there'll be businesses that don't make it through the end of this year. And people that don't have jobs at the end of this year that have them today. But in the big scheme of things, the fact that they've moved today is absolutely the right move. So I congratulate them for that.
All right, David Cunningham, CEO of Squirrel. Thanks for coming back on, David.
Fantastic. Speak again.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.